Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
If you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read from chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Father, again, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing that is upon me. Thank you for that same anointing that is upon your children, for me to preach and teach, for your children to absorb, to listen and to apply. Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. Let every distraction be removed. Let every obstruction be taken out. Come and glorify your name, King Jesus, in our midst. In your precious name we pray. Amen. This is the third and final part of our series, Understanding Spiritual Warfare, Understanding the Principles of Spiritual Warfare. I've requested that our young people be here because this is a generation, if you're between the age of 16 and 35, you are marked by God. You're not marked by the enemy. The enemy thinks he's got your number, but he hasn't. You are marked by God to make a difference in your generation. You need to recognize, if you're between the ages of 16 and 35, that you're not just passing through this world. God has called you specifically for such a time as this, and he has called you and set you apart to make a difference in your generation. Now, for the older generation, we should never, ever feel left out, because there is a Caleb anointing, there is a Joshua anointing that is coming upon God's people, and God is commissioning us again to encourage. This is being recorded, right? Thank you. God is commissioning us again to encourage, to build up, to strengthen this younger generation because of what they're about to face. This world, even with everything that is going to already happening, even the great falling away is already happening. Even the displacement of God's people is already happening. But in the midst of all that's going on in the world right now, God is raising up a generation of men and women who are ready to seek his face. Hearts are being stirred up, even now as we speak. Men and women, young and old, who are ready to call upon the name of the Lord, who have been inspired by the spirit of prayer. These are not men and women who have been inspired by emotion. They have not been moved by what they see and the circumstances around them. But that which is coming forth from them has been birthed in them by the spirit of the living God. And this is a generation that Satan is trying to kill. He's trying to steal and he is trying to destroy, but I'm here to declare in the name of Jesus Christ, God is about to turn around and he is about to move in might. He is about to move in power, and the kingdom of heaven is about to advance upon this nation and upon the nations of the world like never before. And I emphasize that, like never before. We need to be ready. 2020 is going to be a significant year for the body of Christ. 2020 is going to be a significant year for the world. And the Lord would say that it is time to seek my face. It is time to seek my face. It is time to seek my face while there is still time. It is time to seek my face while I might still be found. There is a window of opportunity. He is not disclosing how wide this window is, but he is saying, get hold of the opportunity. Begin to raise your sail. Begin to catch the wind as the wind blows. It is the wind of his blessing. It is the wind of his favor. It is the wind of his faithfulness. It is the wind of his authority. And God is saying, even now, as I move by my Holy Spirit upon a generation who is ready, who are not asleep, who are not complacent, who are not apathetic, as I move upon a generation who is ready, he says, I am going to cause the hordes of hell to be backed up in Jesus' Jesus' name. They're going to be backed up in the name of Jesus. Every single strategy of the enemy is going to be backed up in the name of Jesus. They shall be in retreat, says God. They shall be in retreat, says the Lord. And even now, their weapons shall come to nothing. Their formation shall be broken up. Their disposition shall be dismantled. Their organization shall be obstructed. And when he does it, we shall look upon it and say, this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just a quick recap, very quick recap from last week. I spoke about the strategies of the enemy. Spoke on a number of things that we do need to understand about praying, about spiritual warfare. I spoke on how the enemy still uses distraction. He uses deception. If you're going to be distracted, you'll be deceived. If you don't want to be deceived, don't be distracted. Just refuse to be distracted. Fight against distraction. There are so many things in your life right now, legitimate things. Things that God sees as not only legitimate, but actually positive in your life that could potentially be used by the enemy to distract you. And that's why it's a simple, it's a beautiful quote I came across recently. Don't allow what God is doing through you to deter what God is doing in you. Because what God is doing through you is your public ministry. You might not be in full-time ministry, but let me tell you something. You're called. There is a calling upon your life, and you are in public ministry. But do not allow that which God is doing through you to affect what God is doing in you. It is the substance of your person that he is after. And he is refining you and shaping you into the image of himself. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. If you're not going to be distracted, then you won't be deceived. But this enemy also likes to use not only deception, but he likes to use, of course, he likes to use division. He wants us to be a divided people. Tim spoke about forgiveness earlier on. We need to take it on board. We need to constantly remind ourselves of the incredible power of unity, the incredible power of loving one another, regardless of our shortcomings. I just don't get why we think it's okay to judge a brother or a sister when our lives are so messed up. I don't understand. I'm not saying that this flippantly. Every single one of us in this room has something up with our lives. Amen. You can agree or not, you know, but it's true. And I don't understand why we think it's okay to point the finger at somebody else when we are falling so short of what God has called us to do. What we have got to do is to come not only to the cross, but we need to get on the cross. And we need to ask the Lord to say, we need to ask the Lord to speak to us once again and to show us the areas in our own lives that need to be addressed. And do you know something? What will happen is when in that place of humility and brokenness and surrender, we allow the Lord to clean us up, you're going to shine. We will radiate. We will illuminate every dark area. And then we won't even have to call anything out in anyone else. There's a person called the Holy Spirit. And he will come with correction. He will come with conviction. And even when we speak to a brother or a sister, all that will come out of us will originate from this person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, church, we have got to be so careful what we say to one another. And how we say what we say, because we will be judged by every word that we speak. It will, every single thing will be brought into account. And this is why that account, we say we keep a short account. No, we don't keep a short account. Zero. We need to be a repentant people. We need to come before God and say, God, I messed up again. This thing right here, you know, I'm sorry, God. And then we have to learn from what we've done, as opposed to saying, God, I'm sorry, and then we go and do it again. He wants us to be a united people. He doesn't want us to be a people who are divided. What else does the enemy use? He uses displacement. Of course, discouragement, but I won't labor on that. But he uses displacement, and I touched on this very, very powerful last week. I actually put a thing up on my wall, on our wall. God wants he wants us to be where he needs us to be. Satan wants to displace us. Spiritual displacement is when the enemy will use tactics of a variety of kinds to move us out of God's perfect will. And we start to gravitate. We go from that which is perfect to that which is good. And we're okay. But then we move from that which is good to that which is acceptable. And we're still okay. And the next thing we know, because we haven't checked ourselves, we find ourselves moving and stepping out of God's will. Even again, while we are doing things that are seemingly acceptable to the Lord. Even when, while we are doing things that are permissible, if you like, but because of the condition of our hearts and this desire to want to do what we want to do, we find ourselves being displaced. And as we learn the significance of spiritual warfare, God is going to equip us to be a people who are not displaced. But he's going to equip us to be a people who are firmly fixed right at the center of his will. Now, we're just going to dive straight into this morning's teaching. And I'm not going to spend too long because I really want to allow the Holy Spirit to the time that he needs. Spiritual warfare can only be fought by spiritual weapons. Amen? Amen. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The spiritual weapons that we possess are not carnal in nature, but they are powerful and they are supernatural weapons. So no matter how young you are today, no matter how old you are today, you have been equipped with formidable power. You have power and authority to use the weapons of warfare that God has not only given you, but has trained you to use. There is no junior Holy Spirit. And church, we have got to address any culture that will prevent our children, our young people, our teenagers, even our young adults, from knowing how to fight. Even for those of us who are over a certain age, we need to constantly recognize the need to be trained and retrained and retrained again on how to fight. The second we take the devil for granted, the second we underestimate him, we're falling down. We need to be ready in season and out of season with every single one of these weapons of our warfare. Of course, when we talk about weapons of warfare, in the incredible text on spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, which we looked at last week, we haven't read this morning. You know, Paul talks about those weapons. He talks about the shield of faith. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. He talks about the helmet of salvation, the feet that are fitted with the readiness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the belt of truth. Talks about the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. The Lord is leading us. Of course, these are all armors of God. These are all weapons of our warfare. But we're going to look at a few other things this morning, and maybe we'll touch on that at another time. But I want to talk about seven weapons seven weapons that you should all be familiar with. Maybe some of you aren't, but if you are, it's a good reminder. The first weapon is this. If you're taking notes, it's the name of Jesus Christ. And the second one is the blood of Jesus Christ. The third one, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth one, it is prayer and fasting. The fifth one, it is the word of God. The sixth one, it is praise and worship. And number seven, the love of God. This is just bread and butter. This is just standard. But is it really? Because if we truly understand the power behind these seven aspects of warfare, these seven aspects of the manifestation of Christ, where we talk about the name of Jesus Christ, every time we call upon his name, we need to recognize that the presence of the Lord is ushered in. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, we need to understand that we are equipped to enter into his presence. When we talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we need to recognize that we have been consecrated and we have been set apart and we have been called by name in his presence. When we talk about praying and fasting, again, we need to understand that in his presence, we receive the instructions, we receive the clarification, we receive the word in season from the Lord. When we talk about his word, what happens then? His presence comes to life. Because the word becoming flesh is not just relegated to Jesus coming in. That was the ultimate demonstration of the word manifesting in the physical form. But every single time we stand upon the word of God and we declare the word of God, you got to understand that something is being formed that can only come from the presence of Almighty God, that cannot compete with anything else or be touched by anything else or be stopped by anything else. And this is the power and the significance of the word of God. The same word that so many of us have read year after year after year after year, but we still do not fully understand its power and significance. What about praise and worship? As we enter into this place and we give him our praise and we give him our worship, what we're doing? We're talking about a declaration of habitation. We are declaring that this is the habitation of the Lord. This is where he is. This is where he is. And this is where he stays. And then what about his love? Wow. That's his covering. The covering of his presence. The covering of his manifest presence. What's my point? Every one of these seven areas points to one thing, the presence of the Lord. And to really understand how, as a people, we are to engage in spiritual warfare, we need to understand the presence of the Lord. So we start with the first one, the name of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. If you have your Bibles, come with me to that portion of scripture. It should come up on the wall. And it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." Church, who will these signs follow? Those who believe. Who believe. Because I would like to put it to you today that there could be a few of you who do not believe. You say you believe, but you don't believe. I'm not saying this to call you out. I'm saying this to encourage you, because you don't have any reason not to believe God. You have no reason to accuse God. You have no reason to put God on trial. We are the ones who were meant to be on trial, but Jesus took that place for us. Amen. All we now need to simply do is believe. Because he said, these signs will follow. And then what does it say? That in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is non-negotiable, church. Young person, you need to know this is non-negotiable. Young person, you need to know how to pray for the sick. Our young people need to know how to cast out demons. Jesus, help us this morning. You need to understand the simple, fundamental aspects of your Christian faith. And I'm telling you this right now, that raising the dead is not for the elite. It is not for the creme de la creme. Raising the dead is simply Jesus coming into a situation and saying, everything dead is about to encounter the one who is the resurrection and the life. This is no big deal. He says, when I come, heaven comes. And everything hinges on the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. That's why he says you will cast out demons and they must flee. You will lay hands on the sick and in the name of Jesus, they must recover. There's no two questions about it. So when spiritual warfare starts to kick in and you see the atmosphere around you change and you recognize that things just don't feel the way they used to feel, you just need to call upon the name of Jesus. You need to declare that in his name, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, every single demon has to flee. Every single name has to bow. Every single disease has to fall down prostrate in his name. Why? Because his name qualifies his presence. He says, when you call my name, my presence is there. And if my presence is there, anything that is contrary to my presence has to flee. This is why we pray in his name. This is why we have to learn and continue to relearn the significance of the authority and the power of the name of our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. The next weapon is the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12, verse 10 and 12, or 2:12. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this devil has been cast down. He is under your feet. He has no authority over you. He has no power over you. He has no jurisdiction over you, child of God. Somebody say amen, please. He's been cast down. That's why you are not a victim. That's why you don't fight for victory, you fight from victory.
Amen.
You are a victor. He has been already cast down. That's why he's so angry. Because he knows that you are about to be raised up. We haven't yet known what we shall be, but we know this, that when we see him face to face, we shall be just as he is. And the devil knows that truth. He knows your future. He knows who you are. He knows where you're going. He knows that whilst he has been cast down, you have been raised up.
Amen.
You young people, you need to know something. Every single day, not just the young people, but I'm talking to the young people now. You are around men, you are around young men and women who are bound by the devil. They are bound by Satan. And we gotta have enough Jesus in us to come into those situations and say, I've got a solution for you here. I've got an answer to your question. You don't need to cut yourself anymore. You don't need to be sleeping around anymore. You don't need to be doing that marijuana, smoking that spliff anymore. You don't need to be doing that cocaine anymore. You don't need to be watching that filth anymore. There is freedom. There is liberty. There is healing. There is breakthrough in the name of Jesus. God's people got to get radical. God's people got to get fundamental about the things of God. Our world needs it. Otherwise, what's the point? This devil has been cast down. Verse 11, and they overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. and they did not love their lives even to the death. I'll stop there. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The context of this speaks primarily about the tribulation saints. But on a secondary basis, it applies to every single child of the living God. Because even as these saints will overcome this same dragon by the same blood, you have already overcome. You're already an overcomer. That's why you've got to be free. That's why you can no longer be bound by that depression. That's why you can no longer be bound by that anxiety. That's why you can no longer be bound by that inferiority complex. You are free in the name of Jesus. He has raised you up. You are seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places. Child of God, you're not some kind of low bottom feeder. You're not shrimp. Hallelujah. You're a shark in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. You're a shark in the name of Jesus. You're not shrimp. You're not something on the ground looking for little scraps to eat about. No. Come on. You're a shark in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, in the kingdom of darkness, you're a predator. Hallelujah. You are going around seeking to save that which was lost. And if any demon gets in your way, if any principality or power gets in your way, you begin to release the roar of the Lion of Christ that is inside of you. Glory to God. Hey. You be all right? October the 6th, 2019, PM service, the Lord spoke clearly. Things have shifted in our house. They have shifted. They are continuing to shift. They are not going back. God is raising up not just captains. He is raising up generals, generals, men and women who are ready to fight, who are equipped to fight, who are not afraid of the dispositions of the enemy, who are not afraid of the hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness, be it over Europe, be it over Russia, be it over the Middle East, be it over China, not afraid because, hallelujah, there is a people that are rising up that Mary Queen of Scots, will, if she was around today, would say exactly what she said to that preacher. I fear his prayers more than the armies and the shells of all of my enemies combined. You don't know who you are. That's the problem. Can I be real? You don't know who you are. Because if you knew who you were, then so will the world. Because the devil knows who you are. He knows who you are. Because he knows whose you are. If you know who you are, so will the world. Jesus. Turn those lights down. Go see the clock. Thank you. Bless you. The blood. Oh, I wish I could talk more about the blood. The power of the blood. We sing it. We talk about it. We've even partaken of it. But do we really understand why his blood is powerful? I want to tell you why his blood is very powerful, just so quickly. Because by that blood, not only have we been able to gain access into the most sacred and the most safest place in the whole universe, sacred and safest place in the whole universe, that same blood has completely and utterly nullified the works. Every single work of Satan has already, no, come on, it is not a future thing. It has already been nullified. It has already been declared by this same blood null and void. Amen. As far as you're concerned, child of God. The world, no, forget that. They're bound. They're hellbound. They're bound on earth and they're hellbound. But as far as you're concerned, child of God, this blood is a massive red light to the devil. Do not come anywhere near this place. Amen. You cannot. You cannot come anywhere near this place. You cannot touch my marriage.
You cannot touch my family. You cannot touch my money. You cannot touch my health. You cannot come any further. That's the significance and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. But the greatest work is, as I've said, that we have access to the throne of grace. What about the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, "So he answered and said to him, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" We stop, we quote that wrong, don't we? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Doesn't say that. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, or the Lord of heaven's armies. The context of this is war. It is warfare. It is victory in the name of Jesus. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that says, "Who are you?" Verse 7, "O great mountain, before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Zerubbabel, obviously, with Jehoshua being the two called by God to lay the foundations and to erect the temple, not the third temple, but Zerubbabel's temple, and all of the oppression that was released upon them, and the accusations and the distractions and disruptions of the enemy almost caused, in fact, it caused them to stop building for almost 10 years. But at the encouragement of the prophetic voice, they were once again reminded that it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, that these armies that are coming against you are coming against you. You got to understand one simple thing about spiritual warfare. When Satan comes to fight you, he's not fighting you, he's fighting Jesus. When Satan comes to fight you, he's not fighting you, he is fighting Jesus. Because if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on and so forth, you got to understand that that same principle not only works for you in the physical, but it also works for every single entity in the spirit. So when there is a fight in the realm of the spirit, they are not first and foremost coming against you physically, because they are not authorized to do that. The only way that that fight can manifest physically is if we, on our part, do not do what God has called us to do here and now. That's why this our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They are not physical, they are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are spiritual weapons, mighty through God, for the pulling down of strongholds. And tonight I'm going to be talking about strongholds. And there's going to be even greater, a greater breakthrough happening tonight. The strongholds are going to come down.
Yes.
So when the enemy comes to fight you, he is not fighting you, he is fighting Jesus. So in light of that, who's winning? Who's winning, church?
Jesus.
Who's winning, church?
Jesus.
You're both right. Oh, Lord. This is why you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I talk about this. I preach next week in CLC in Portsmouth. The next week I'm going to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is going to come and do wonderful things in our midst. I can't go into this. I need to finish. What about prayer and fasting? Prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, 14 to 20 says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him.'" That, verse 16, messes me up every single time. "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' And Jesus rebuked that demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, he who believes in my name, they will cast out demons. Why could we not cast it out? Because you don't believe. The Lord wants us to search our hearts again, church. He wants us to search our hearts. He wants us to get real with him and to get real with ourselves. And if there is a seed or root of unbelief, that needs to be taken care of, because unbelief is a real insult to Jesus' cross. Amen. So, you know, he said, because of your unbelief, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, be moved from here, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible. The next verse, it goes on to say, but this kind or this type only comes out by prayer and fasting. In January, we're going to be fasting for 21 days as a church. We do this now every year just to get us ready for what God is about to do. And I tell you what, it's going to be a significant time of God revealing his purposes for us individually, but also corporately as a church. But we need to know today that when we engage the enemy in prayer and fasting, as I've taught before, when we fast, we are disconnecting ourselves from the world. Amen. When we pray, we are attaching or connecting ourselves to Jesus. God wants us to be a people refusing to fight Satan on his own terms. Are you with me this morning? You don't fight Satan. You don't have a giant elephant wanting to bargain or negotiate with an ant. You're the elephant. I don't mean to insult anyone here. You can be any big animal you like. Amen. There is no competition. We don't fight him on his own terms. And that's why when you live a fasted lifestyle, you will operate in a realm of authority like no other. But there has got to be prayer factored in as well. I really can't unpack that, but you know, we're going to be talking so much about praying and fasting. What about the Word of God? The Word of God. Luke 4, verse 1 to 4, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes or proceeds forth from the mouth of God. It is written, the word of God says, that I shall not live by bread alone. You've got to bear in mind that this is his weakest point, his finished fasting. Again, it is a legitimate need. He was hungry. He would have been hungry. In fact, as he said in the other gospel, he was hungry. And it's a legitimate need. Again, can you not see how this liar and deceiver gets hold of simple, pure, legitimate needs and twists it around to cause us to stumble and fall and step out of the will of God? He says, right, I want to force your hand. First of all, I'm questioning what you believe. He just said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you really believe that? Okay, well, you know, if you believe that, great, but I don't think you do. Of course, Jesus did. But if you prove to me that you believe what you just heard by turning that stone to bread. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to prove anything to you. I am hungry, but I'm not going to do things on your own terms. I'm telling you, the word of God says, I don't need to do that. All I need is every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is why we, as a generation, we've got to refuse again to sit at the table of the Nebuchadnezzar of our time and the rulers of our time and eat of the king's delicacies. Amen. The delicacies of entertainment, the delicacies of worldliness, the delicacies of carnality and all the filth that keeps on being thrown at us hitting us from all directions, stupefying our spirit man. He says, I am not going to do anything on your... There's no problem with bread, and I can turn stone to bread. It's not a problem. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it because you asked me to do it. And I'm telling you, devil, the word of God says so. That's why you need to know the word. I heard a preach yesterday, and for the whole hour, the Bible wasn't open once. Not one scripture was used. And we wonder why this generation is weak. We wonder why there is no fire in the church of God. We wonder why this is an Ichabod generation and the glory of the Lord has departed from our churches. That's why Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was driven by the Holy Spirit infilling. He was driven to go and pray and fast. And he came out, but he was so infused with the truth of the word. Oh, he was the word, but he still had to quote the word. He still had to declare the word. When you stand upon the word of God, everything else falls.
Thank you, Lord.
When you stand upon the word of God, everything else falls. In Jesus' name. I'm almost there. Praise and worship, number six. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 to 20, 25 to 26 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly, oh, hallelujah, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Immediately all the doors were open. There was an earthquake. The foundation shook, and immediately all the doors were open. They were singing, and they were singing hymns, and they were praying, and they were praising God at midnight. Oh, there is something powerful about the midnight hour. There is something significant about the midnight hour. It is not just a myth. It is the time of crossing over. It is the time when literally the old goes and the new comes. It is the time when there is a reset. Hallelujah. There is a reset. Oh, I don't have time to go into this. There is a reset. And you got to understand, when God says, I'm resetting the clock, I'm resetting my time, I am resetting the time of the ages. He says, I want my people to be ready. I want my people to be stationed. I want my people to be on point. Amen. You say, well, I'm asleep at 12. That's not a problem. Before you go to bed, surrender to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, even while I'm asleep, speak to me. Even while I'm asleep, use me. Even while I'm asleep, you do whatever you need to do through my life. But if you can report for duty at least once a week or once every 2 weeks in that midnight hour and say, God, I'm here. Even at this time of reset, it's not just about going from 11:59 to 12 a.m. There is a significant spiritual dynamic. They were praying, they were singing hymns, and the glory came. There is power when you worship and praise God in the midst of adversity, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of spiritual warfare. There is a power that is released like no other. There is a glory that is released like no other. And when his presence comes, everything else has to depart. That's why you got to learn to praise. That's why you have got to learn to worship. Thank God for YouTube, but you don't have to rely on YouTube because YouTube makes us very lazy. Thank God for our CDs and all that Spotify. There is a sound that needs to come from within church. Amen. There is a sound of the beloved that needs to come that cannot come from outside sources. There is a sound. Young people, this is worship. You got to understand what worship is. Worship comes from within.
Amen.
First and foremost, it has to come from within. And that's where the enemy is defeated. Last one and I'm done now. The love of God. The love of God. This is the final one, the love of God. Isaiah 59, verse 19, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard or a banner against him. Songs of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Amen.
Come back, because I'm finished. His banner over you is love. Isaiah 59:19 says, speaks, when his enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a banner or a standard against that same enemy that is coming in like a flood. And then Songs of Solomon is saying that this banner ultimately, people say, well, it's the word, is his name and all that. We've covered all that. Ultimately, this banner represents the love of God. The love of God over you. This is why this perfected love, it dispels fear. It dispels terror. It exposes the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. This is why this banner is a place of protection. It is a place of promotion. It is a place of propagation. God puts something inside of you that can only come out of you when you are laid down in his presence, when he has impregnated you with his revelation, with the fruitfulness of heaven. His banner over you is love. It is the place of equipping. It is the place of empowerment. His banner over you is love, 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 love. Unstoppable love, unquenchable love, inextinguishable love. His banner over you is love. If you don't remember anything else about the blood, about the name, about prayer and fasting, about the word of God, if you don't remember any of that, you just need to remember today that you are loved. No matter what, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter what the enemy is trying to tell you, you are loved. And his banner over you is love. Let's all bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. So what we're going to do now, I'm just going to reach out to anyone in this room who's just needs to get right with God. I'm going to just allow the Lord to do what he needs to do with. This is very, very important. I think we have time to take the offering, but we'll see. We'll say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Just, it'll come, Lord Jesus, come. We wait on you. It's teaching you to fight, young people. It's teaching you to fight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not a child of God, if you're not born again, if you're far away from God, you've fallen away from the Lord, you need to know that you are loved by God, but you need to get right with him. You cannot remain in your sin. If you remain in your sin and you were to die today, you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell. You have got to get right with God. He loves you too much for you to go to a place that you were not created for. You were created for heaven. You were created for fellowship. You were created for love. And this is why Jesus came, because of that same love. He died on the cross that all your sin might be taken care of, that your sin might be washed away. But now it's about you either accepting or rejecting this free gift of eternal life. God wants you to know today that this is another opportunity for you to say yes to him through Jesus Christ, his son. So if you are ready, if you don't have an assurance of faith, if you don't have an assurance of salvation, then I just want you to pray with us this morning. This prayer in itself cannot save you. But what this prayer does, it acts as your confession, the confession of your faith, the confession of what God is doing in you right now. You may not fully understand what's going on, but you need to simply trust that God is doing something in you to lead you from darkness into light, to lead you from death into life, eternal life. If you this morning are ready to give your life to Christ, then we want you to just pray this prayer with us. And it goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Today, I acknowledge that I have sinned and I repent of all of my sins. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me and wash me clean in your blood. Cleanse me, renew me, and make me whole. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are my Savior and you are my Lord and you are my God. So today, I give you my life for the rest of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us and you truly meant it, we want to ask you to do one simple thing, because we want to give you some information, but we also want to thank God for your life. If you prayed that prayer, can we ask you to be bold enough just to raise your hand, please, so we know you prayed it? God bless you. God bless you, brother. I can call you that now. My brother, my sister. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, come on, church. Let's give God praise. Let's all stand.